Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Hallelujah. Lord, as we look to your word, as we look to your truth, Father, we expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Let's go to the word this morning. I just want to say, thank you. Sometimes, and my wife will tell you this, I'm not the always have not always been the best at receiving gifts, and I don't know why that is, because who doesn't like gifts, right? But I will just say this: it's an honor and a privilege to serve God in any capacity. If it's interesting because, God decides who we are before we're ever here. And there are times where I've said, why would you choose? Because how many do this? You look at other people sometimes just naturally and you go, they should probably be doing this job because they have this skill or that skill. But God doesn't do it that way. He picks, he decides, and it's his choice. Amen. And so I am thankful. We are thankful, of course, for all the blessings, all the good things and the blessings that you guys have given us. Thank you very much. We're thankful and grateful for you as well. And also, I'll just say this, the other pastors and leaders that are in this church, we are grateful for them as well. In every area, every department, Because it doesn't just happen by two people. It happens by everybody coming together and serving God. So thank you for the blessing. Thank you to everybody that serves, and thank you for everybody that considers this their home. It's an honor to pastor and to serve, and it's fun to watch people grow in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I want to do a couple of things here, and I'm doing pretty good on time. Diana, you want to come up? Let's do it. Yeah, let's put you on the spot. I mean, not really, because technically we talked about this in advance. I want Diana to share her testimony of healing. And I just have the, you want the white one? Okay. Is this one dying or what? All right. And I just share with the people what the Lord has done and did, what was a year ago, right?
Well, it started, yeah, about okay. a year and a half
yeah,
ago.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Look at the eyes.
Yeah, they're all here.
Yeah, they do. But about a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And I followed what they said. I took their meds. I changed my diet. I spoke to my body. I did what I needed to do. But last November, about the middle of the month, everything went haywire. I was having big ups and big downs and dangerous downs. In fact, if anybody knows on diabetes, that when your readings are 25, you should be getting to the emergency room long ago. But so I ended up in the emergency room a couple times and such, but they couldn't figure out really what was going on. And I quit the medications and such with it. Now, and things still continued on with this of the bad readings, and I was sticking myself 14, 15, 16 times a day that anytime I had a symptom so that I could either put on protein or do what I could do, to keep me out of that emergency room. Well, in January every year, I've been going up to Dickinson, North Dakota to the Believers Rally. And the way things were, I canceled it. To go someplace when you're sick and travel and such. I mean, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. Well, a couple days before, I thought, there's no place here on earth that I should be but there. Where there's believers, there's like-minded people with me, there's the anointing, the healing anointing of God is there. So I went with Jan and Ron and stayed with them, so that was all around me also. But I got down there, and I think it was Sunday night or Monday night that I went up for prayer, and specifically against these things. And I laid on the floor for an awful long time. I remember that, but I knew that I was healed. I knew that I was healed. And from that moment on, my blood glucose levels were good. They were all in the normal range. It stayed that way. And so I come on home, and I continued monitoring things. But in March, I met with my primary care doctor again, and he's looking this over, and I says, you know, doctor, I was healed the middle of January of diabetes. And he says, you know, he says, I believe in it 100%. He says, I know that God is the healer. But he says, I'm also your primary care doctor, and I have to see things and know myself. He said, there's some things that I've got to show myself. So he asked if I would go and continue monitoring and such, which I did. And I monitored here for 6 months. Everything was looking good. Last week, this is such good news. Last week, he goes over my blood work and such, and he goes, Diana, you don't have diabetes. You are not, you know. And he removed it from my medical records. It's gone. Hallelujah.
Woo! See, God's still alive. Some people thought he died with the apostles, but he didn't. He's still working. Amen? I just wanted her, I actually wanted her to share it last week, but she was working in the children's department. And, you know, if you're looking for a good doctor, hers might be one. Just saying. It's, you say you're not against doctors? No. I love the medical field. There are many good people in the medical field, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad in everything. You know what I mean? So, I'm not, you just got to be led by the Spirit of God. The other thing I was going to say, if you need information on voting, because it's coming up for the midterms, I have a sign-up sheet out at the welcome table out there. If you put your email down, I'll send you information that I get on who to vote for, including how many ever struggle about the judges, including all that information. You say, what is it? Does it tell me who to vote for? No, but it tells you exactly where they give all their donations. You say, what do you mean? Well, because they're all nonpartisan, which is a lie, but they're all nonpartisan. All right. Don't go politics. I'll go politics. Trump said I could. He signed an order, said I could. So, people want to hear about this stuff, believe it or not. But I'll just tell you this. Our Supreme Court and our court system, 99.9% of them give all their money to Democrats. I'll just tell you that right now. So you can't, now you won't know how they're going to vote, okay? But you will know where they gave their money. And I know a scripture that says where your treasure is. Your heart is also. So anyway, so I will send that to you. So you just have to sign your name and your email as you're leaving. Your name and your email on that sheet, and I'll send you the information. You can also go to Big Sky Worldview, I think is what it is, the forum. If you go to that, that's a great resource for lots of information about candidates and all that they stand for and everything like that. What else did I want to say? Okay, we're going to be starting on, of course, you guys know this, the bathrooms out there, but we'll get to that another time. Let's go to the Word. We got a few minutes here. Amen. Let's go to, why don't you go ahead and open to James chapter 1. I want to show you something here this morning. We talked about, we're talking about principles of success. And These principles of success are found in the scripture, and these are not all of them, but there's a good handful of them. And so I want to review just real quick, and then we'll get into the one point this morning that I want to emphasize. And then next week, I'm going to start a new series on spiritual warfare. I'm not going to call it that because there's so many things associated with that, but I'll probably subtitle it that. And we're going to talk about, again, how the enemy tries to get into our lives and affect things. It'll be a really good series if you know people who struggle with depression or mental torment. What people don't realize is that much of spiritual warfare is mental. In the sense of, it comes, the fight is in, this is the battleground. Okay, so we'll talk about that. It'll be good, amen? All right, so James chapter 1, we talked about this last week. I'm going to review all the points, but we talked about the importance of joy in trials. And James chapter 1 verse 2 says this, "My brethren, count it all joy whenever you fall into various trials." Verse 3, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have her what? Perfect work. Have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Do you know a lot of times people end up spiritually deficient because they don't let patience have its perfect work? A lot of times Christians are more interested in making the trouble go away than walking through it by faith. But I'll just tell you this, you're not going to get through it unless you exercise your faith in it. Amen. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Notice it doesn't recommend that you camp in the valley of the shadow of death. You've got to walk through it. And in order to do that, there's only one way. Because in the valley of the shadow of death, it's dark. It feels bad. It sounds bad. The doctor says it's bad. The economy says it's bad. It's the shadow of death. Death is all around you. Death is in the atmosphere here. And people say, "Well, I wish it wasn't." Me too, but Adam and Eve, you know. What are you going to do? It is what it is. See, what Adam and Eve didn't do wasn't just physical, it was spiritual. So it wasn't just in the sense of them eating. What they did is they opened a door for the enemy to step into this realm and have effect, have influence, have authority that they had prior. Amen. Okay, so since that took place, everything that we are dealing with now comes from the perspective, we have to deal with it with the understanding that there are two forces operating in this earth. One is darkness, one is... Now, there's no secret, darkness appears as multiple things, but there's only one darkness, and that's Satan and his crew, amen. And there's only one source of light, and that's God. And people say, "Well, no, there's many sources of light, you know, because all these different religions and they do good and da-da-da-da-da." No, no, no. All the other religions are false. All the other religions are false. No. All the other religions are false. Well, that's not very inclusive. I know, but Jesus was not inclusive in the sense that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no human can come to the Father but through..." You know, people say, "Well, you need to be open-minded." But Jesus told me that broad was the way that led to destruction. People say, "Well, you just don't love people." Actually, I do love them because I want to prevent them by speaking the truth to stay out of fellowship with the devil himself. People wonder why Jesus and the disciples were getting beat up all the time. Amen. You know what I mean? Why they suffered the trials that they did. Well, it's simple. They spoke the truth. Truth has a way of just kind of filtering through everything and getting right down to the core. You know, people will do this. You got to watch it. You can speak truth to them, and they will, out of their own heart, respond evil, and they'll blame you for their response. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh profusely in some cases. whatever is in you will come out. It's a biblical principle that will not end. You know, recently, with the different things that we've seen going on in the political world, and when Judge Kavanaugh was going through the process of what he did, whatever you feel about him is whatever, okay, to me. That's personal whatever is fine. You can have your personal feelings about things. But let me tell you this. Emotions don't equate to truth. Ever. If you dive to your emotion to look for truth, you will miss it. How many have ever felt, oh, engaged, this will be mostly women, but engaged in a movie that is not real, but you're bawling at this movie. Most guys aren't doing this, unless it's like a bull elk, you know, and they're just tear. Engaged, and these are actors and actresses, and it's not real. Yeah, but they're in love. But off the set, they're on their fifth marriage. I don't care how well they treated them on the set. The director says, cut. And they go back to their own trailers and have to deal with the 3 and 4 and 5 divorces they've had. Why? Because that's just a show. It's just an act. It's not real. But yet, how many have noticed it can engage your emotion, and your emotion can go like that? The news media does the same thing. The news media does the same thing. So we're seeing these, you know, the judge is getting texts about they're going to kill his kids, kill his wife, you know. And I had somebody say to me, you know, more than once, I can't believe people are saying this kind of stuff over this. And I was thinking, you know, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, I can't believe this either, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, those are the people, Sean, that want to continue to have abortion. If they murder babies, why wouldn't they murder anybody else? Murder's in there. Now you say, oh, you're condemning them. No, I'm trying to help them. You have murder in your heart. You think you're fighting for something that's life, and what you're fighting for is going to consume you. Where Jesus was consumed by what was consuming me so that I could be consumed by his life. See, there's that separation, and we must get into truth and let truth get into us. Not so that we can be just peaceful with everybody, but that we can make peace. We are peace makers. We are to make peace, amen? So we need to be aware of that, and when it comes to the scriptures, it's very much this way. The scriptures will come to you in the middle of your situation, and they will tell you to do something that you don't feel like doing. And in the middle of trials, and if you want success, you have to do what the scripture says. So if in the middle of your trial, the Lord draws up within you, count it all joy, my brethren, whenever you fall into various trials and tribulations, whenever the proper response in the middle of that is to go, I command this joy. And when you do that, what takes place is the opposite of what Adam and Eve received when they disobeyed God. When you obey God, the opposite comes about. When you walk in love instead of how you feel, there is a release of the anointing or the presence or the resurrection of God into your situation. And that, in a nutshell, is what faith is. That's what faith is. Faith, what it does is it gives a response that the trial didn't expect from a source that was not originated in the trial, and it gives a submission to God, and then what? A resistance to the devil. So when you respond out of the resurrection within you in joy to your trial, you now have released the same power that raised Christ from the dead into your situation. That's why you're not facing anything that God can't get you through. Actually, you're not facing anything that Christ has not already gone through. Because it's by grace through All you're doing is tapping into the resource that God provided in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't need to create a new way out for you. He just needs to let you lead him, or let him lead you through it. There is no problem that you are facing that is greater than God who is for you. None. Now, you need to convince yourself of that. You need to convince yourself of it. Because, why? Trial's coming. Trial may be here. And your way through is by obedience to him. Amen? Because he always provides a way of escape. So perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Next book over to your right there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3. And you're going to see, this is not an exact quote of James 1, but it's there's some great things here. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible, glory to God, and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven. For your redemption, your resurrection will not fade away. It doesn't wear out like a garment. It's ever humming with resurrection life. Isn't that good news? And then he says this: to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the what? Power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse number 6. In this you greatly what? Rejoice. So you're rejoicing in your what? Your salvation. Are you rejoicing in your circumstance? No. Because, and we'll see why not, right? And we'll see that he's bringing a contradiction or a discerning between the two right here. He says this: in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been what? Grieved by various trials. That the what? Genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of what? Jesus Christ. Where is that revelation take place? In you. In other words, in the middle of your trial, there is a faith inside of you that is more precious than all the money you have. Well, you just don't know how rich I am. You don't know I don't care. But now I told you, so you know. I don't care how much money you have. The most precious thing you have is faith. Faith. It's faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the whole thing. You have within you what you need to take you through what you're currently experiencing. Now, that's different for different people. You know, with Diana's situation, it's that healing situation. Maybe it's a marriage situation. Maybe it's a kid's situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a past hurt situation. Maybe it's an abusive parent situation. Come on. Pick it. Pick the situation. Your way out is Jesus Christ. Your way out is the promises, your faith in him. It's responding, it's rejoicing in him, even though in the midst of the circumstance, I don't see anything to rejoice about. But by faith, Lord, I step back from that. I push that aside. I look at your promises and I go, Lord, thank you that you're working. I rejoice and count it all joy that this situation is in front of me, because out of this, I am going to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Because I respond out of the patience that is within me instead of responding out of the circumstances' influence. The influence of the resurrection of Christ within me is multiple times greater than anything in this world. It's what we choose to yield to that will produce the fruit in our lives. Amen. Boy, I said a mouthful there, and I know it, but don't worry, this will be online. You can listen to it again. Success is defined as the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. An aim or a purpose. And I'll just say this, you can jot this down. Don't turn here, but Luke 22:42. Jesus said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Okay, so if you're going to have success, you have to decide to set your will to God's. No matter what. Well, you don't know how bad I messed up my life already. Are you still breathing? Check your pulse. Okay, y'all look good. I don't see any dead people. Okay, then you have opportunity. You have opportunity to obey. If you're here, you have opportunity to obey. If you're drawing breath, if you still have heartbeats, you have opportunity to obey. You always, as long as you're here, there's an opportunity for faith. Now, the moment you're done, we'll know, and you'll be done. Right? But you always have opportunity for faith while you're here. And so, success, again, is defined as what? It's defined as the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. Well, what is the purpose? It's God's will, not yours. Okay, so let's go over to James chapter 3. I wish I could go through more of these scriptures, but that's okay. James chapter 3. I'm going to show you how to aim. I'm going to show you how to steer. Somebody say, "I'm going to steer." James chapter 3, verse number 2. James said this, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a what? Perfect man, able also to bridle," and that word means guide, "the whole body." In the Amplified, it says this, "For we often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature." Wow, that's good, isn't it? Ooh, I wonder if it's true. I wonder if God knew what he was talking about. The Bible in basic English says this. You say, "Why do you have to be sarcastic?" Because I gotta kind of shake loose the religious thinking in your head. How many of you have noticed that religious thinking can stick? Like, you ever seen those mouse traps that are sticky? You ever got it on your shoe accidentally? Oh my goodness. No wonder that mouse can't get away. I can't even get away from it. But that's how religious thinking can be. It can stick there, and you'll go, "Does it really? You can't really control your whole body with your mouth. And who did you disagree with?" Religious thinking will go, "Well, I disagreed with the preacher." Depends. Was the preacher preaching a scripture? If the preacher's preaching the scripture, don't stone the messenger. We don't hand out rocks at this church when you come in. You say, "Well, no, people don't get mad like that." I've been around long enough to know different. I've been in ministry long enough. I've had people, I don't have time. All right, so Bible in basic English says this, "If a man never makes a slip in his talk, then he is a complete man and also able to keep all his body in control." Whew, I like that. I keep myself under control. Nobody controls me but the Holy Spirit. You say, "What are you doing?" I am steering my ship. I am steering my ship. Listen to this God's Word says this. All of us make a lot of mistakes. If someone doesn't make any mistakes when he speaks, he would be perfect. He would be able to control everything he does. Everything he does. In the Passion Translation, it says this, "Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed." How many have bridled every word you've ever said? I'll pray for you after if you raise your hand. No, we haven't. And people say, well, I just don't know if I believe that. You should believe what God says to you in his word. It says this in verse number 3. He says this, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Then verse 4, look also at ships. Now watch this. This is what I want you to see right here. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small, wherever the pilot desires. Oh, no, no, no. The fierce winds decide. What picture is he painting here? Where are the fierce winds in your life? And where is the pilot? This world has fierce winds, but you're the pilot. You can decide by your mouth which direction your life's going to go. Our marriage is going to get better and better. My kids are going to serve the Lord. I'm getting stronger in the Lord every year because I feed on his word. I pray in the spirit. I fellowship. I spend time with him. It's not too late for any situation that I'm in. God is working on my behalf. You say, what are you doing? I'm steering my ship. All my needs will be met according to his riches and glory. The situation that I'm in is not too big for me. Why? Because I'm not depending on me. I'm depending on God. And he leads and guides me into truth every day of my life. You don't may not realize I'm quoting scripture. Greater is he that is on the inside of me than he that is in the... I will not fear success and I will not fear failure because the only success that I'm concerned about is the success that God has given me. And I'm operating according to his call and his purpose and according to his gifting and talent. And I will do everything I can in investing into that. And God, out of his good nature, will multiply what I invest into that he put inside of me. Does that make sense? You can listen to it again later if it doesn't. Slow the tape down, you know, just... I am living out of what God has given me, but I'm not speaking. Now, people will listen to a preacher like that and they'll go, that guy is arrogant. No, it's arrogant to disagree with God. It's humility. Now, you'd know it was arrogance if Mike came up to me and said, yeah, that's what's happening for me. And I said, no, 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 only for me, not for you. That's arrogance. Confidence is different. If he comes up to me and says, yeah, that's working for me too. God's moving on my behalf. I go, amen, brother, wherever two agree. I'm speaking with you. And then what? We're double ruddering his ship. Steering in the direction of success. And you say, what is success? It is God's will for every person on the planet. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm defining success as God's will for you. What is his will for you? And when you have that and you know that and you see that, then you grab onto it with all of your faith and you are like a dog with a bone that doesn't want to give it up. How many of you have ever seen those videos on YouTube? I've watched one where this dog has the bone and he's attacking his own foot. Because he thinks his foot is coming to take the bone away from him. I'm looking at that going, well, that dog needs Jesus, man. He's attacking his own foot. But he's jealous of that bone. And you need to be so in love with God's will that you want, this is what God has called me to do. I will fulfill, this is it. I sell everything else. I buy the field because of the treasure inside of the field. And then I hang on to that treasure with everything. And then you steer yourself in his will for success by your tongue. You speak what he spoke to you. You speak what he has purchased for you in Jesus Christ. There is an answer to every situation in the word. Everyone. Everyone, you say, but there's no specific scripture that talks about this situation. Yeah, but you've been given the Holy Spirit, which is in the Word. and the Holy Spirit will show you what to do. How many have had a lingering problem in your life and you're just like, how many have said this over that problem? I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. What are you doing? There's your answer over there. You're steering away from your answer. You need to say, the Holy Spirit knows all things, and he's been given to me, and he is the Spirit of truth, and he shows me things to come. James didn't say, if you lack wisdom, ask, and God might give it to you. He didn't say, if you lack wisdom, you know, beg a lot, and if you feel like there's a warm fuzzy in the middle of your prayer, then you know that God answered you, and no. He said, if you ask in faith, and you believe, you have it. And God will not berate you. He won't look down at you and go, you dummy. You should know that by now. He'll just look down and go, extra wisdom, more wisdom. Say it with me, I have wisdom. I have answers. I have light in dark areas. Why? What did you just do? You steered your ship. You steered your ship. The rudder is so small, but yet what does it do with that ship? Man, it can turn that thing. Now, sometimes it takes a little while to turn the ship, but don't quit speaking. Don't quit saying what God said about your situation. How many have seen this? The enemy is so evil. He's just such a, I mean, there's no adjective to describe how sorry he is. But the enemy will do this. He'll tell people that want to get married, well, your parents were divorced. You're going to be divorced. Is he that way or not? You've got to speak something else. You've got to stand up in the middle of that and go, no, the past is the past. This is what I'm having. Amen. Okay? And you say, why is that important? I feel bad about the mistakes that I made in the past. Then you don't understand forgiveness, and you're allowing the enemy to work condemnation in your life, and it's not conviction of the Holy Spirit. If the enemy, like for instance, if you've been divorced, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to you. If you've been forgiven, where is it? Where's the problem? It doesn't exist. People will do this. They'll go, well, I've been divorced before. I'm damaged goods. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, how much damage did Jesus impart into you? None. Thank you. You are not damaged goods. You are a brand new creation that has never existed before. All old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. It's just a matter of what we speak. Well, we just don't deserve the success. We don't deserve the... Right. In and of yourself, you don't. But in Him... This is the beauty of grace. I'm in this, functioning in this by faith, which has nothing to do with how I feel. Amen? You say, that's strong. If you grab hold of this word, it will change your life. And I'm not talking about you walk through your life and just ignore it in the sense of, you know, faith is not running around saying you have no problems. I don't have a problem. That's, you're sticking your head in the sand. You can identify a problem. Just speak to it according to the promise. Resist, realize where it's coming from. Resist it in the name of Jesus and speak from the resurrection within you and tell the issue where it's going to go. Speak to your life the direction that you're going to go. See, when this is all said and done, I'm going to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And guess what? People won't always believe that about you. But you know what? Jesus does, and that's what matters. And then you'll have those that believe it about you. Amen. And they'll put their faith, and they'll put up with your mistakes, and your, they'll give you mercy and walk in love with you and show you encouragement and unite faith with you. And those are the buddies you want to keep really close. And then if others don't, just keep believing, keep standing, keep moving forward with the goodness of God. And as you do, the manifestation of God's promise will come to pass. And people that hated you before will come back to you and go, how do you do that? You say, God. And then in that moment, you don't go, remember when you hated me? You just let all that go. You forgive them for all that and say, let me show you how it's done. And you use your position of authority and influence. You use your position of love and mercy and the resurrection of Christ within you, not to put somebody else down, but to... He takes people from the dung heap and sits them with princes. That's what God does. That's what he does. That's where I'm going. Princeville. Come on, are you? See, I'm steering my ship. What are you steering? I just don't even know why I'm on this planet. You better knock that off. I'm warning you by the Holy Ghost. You better knock that off. Because you will direct yourself somewhere you don't want to go. Well, it's hard to know God's will. You better knock that off. No, the Holy Spirit, we talked about this before. I am his sheep. He is my, and I know his voice. The people that reject the faith message and the word of faith often end up in a position that their only hope is when they die, that they're going to heaven. But the people that receive the word of faith and the promise of God, and that God is operating and moving today, right now, that we have a hope not only in the future, but now as well, see the victories that Jesus purchased for them in his death, burial, and resurrection. I love the promises. How about you? And I believe they're for today. Even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. So the question is what? What are you saying? What are you saying? What do you say about you? What do you say about your situation? What do you say about your circumstance? What are you saying? Are you speaking God's, that God is delivering me, he's setting me free? How many have ever heard this before? And I've actually... I was actually praying about this morning, and the Lord was dealing with me about it. People make statements, you know, God won't tempt you or test you beyond what you're able. How many have heard that before? How many know that is a partial rendering of that scripture? Okay? First of all, we know in James that God does not tempt with what? Evil. The Bible says he cannot tempt with evil. He doesn't. So, what people do is they get it in their mind. They think, well, I'm going through this trial, but God's not giving me more than I can bear. First of all, the trial is not from God. We know that from Scripture. Okay? Secondly, with a trial, what is always available? If you read the next verse, a way of... Have you ever noticed in the church, they don't ever really talk about the way of escape? They mostly talk about what? Well, you have enough to handle it. What do you mean by that? Do you mean that I have strength to endure as I walk through and kill this thing and get past it and have victory? Or do you mean I'm supposed to deal with this for the rest of my life and God will just give me strength? Because the scripture says right after that, he provides a what? A way of, do you know what the way of escape is? It's the promises in the word. What word speaks to your situation? That is, your faith in that grace is the door out. See, the enemy has worked around people, all the way around them. And there are all these closed doors. But what they don't realize is God's already given the believer the keys. And so they stand there and look at the door and go, look at that. God's like, the key's in your hand. Just unlock it and go. It's open. Go ahead. But what happens is the enemy is so good at getting people to focus on the problem that they miss the solution. See, he's not all powerful, but he's good at deceiving. That's why you need light in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Lord. Dave and Tracy, I have a word for you. I don't have time to explain the gifts and operations of the Spirit, so I'll. You can go back and listen online somewhere. It's in there. But I sense this during worship. It's almost like for years on the path you've been of your life, you've been testing different things, and it felt like that wasn't it. No, that wasn't it. This wasn't it. This wasn't it. This wasn't it. And it seemed like at times there was... like maybe you had found it, but then it either blew up or fell apart. Something happened that caused it to go cattywampus in some way or another. But I feel like you're right where you're supposed to be and that you should let it run all out. Does that make sense? So in other words, the path that's in front of you, it's where you... I'm not saying all the... Everything in your life that's happening right now is God's will. I'm saying you're where you're supposed to be and that you can go ahead and push that gas pedal down. It's a car analogy because, you know, cars. Yeah, you get that. They're involved in cars. So, does that make sense? And your best days are ahead. I'll just tell you that. Your best days are ahead. They're coming. They're manifesting. They're ahead. They're ahead. Keep going forward. Amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Second thing is this. Is there anybody here who has... Now, this is going to be specific, and I'm not going to invite people up, but I'm going to pray for you where you're at. I'm going to have people next to you just put their hand on you. Is there anybody here who has specifically something with the brain? Something with the brain, like you've been diagnosed something with the brain, specifically. Does anybody have that? If you do, just raise your hand where you're at. Okay, there's two right there. Can we just get some hands on them, just on shoulders there? Anybody else? Specifically with the brain. Something happened. I don't know if it's a concussion. I don't know if it's a trauma of some sort. Does that make sense? Okay, because I was in prayer the other day on Friday, and I just felt like the Lord said, I'm going to heal brains. Some people are like, I think I need you to pray for my teenager. No, you just keep speaking life over them. They'll be fine. Some of the boys can't help it, okay? Did everybody, now I don't want to leave anybody out. Now this is specific for the brain, the mind, okay? It's not for anything else. So if that's you, raise your hand so we can get hands on you. If not, that's fine. It's no big deal. I just don't want to miss anybody. So let's use our faith, shall we? Go ahead. Put your hands on. Did you need prayer as well? Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead. We'll put hands on her. And I'm going to pray in faith. Let's agree together. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your healing anointing. And in the name of Jesus, we speak to these brains. Be normal in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the trauma. And I command the trauma, the things that have affected the brain physically, to be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that your healing anointing now is moving into the brain cells, into the brain in every area, and that you are restoring back to normality those brains in Jesus' name. I call them normal in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we thank you for doing it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for delivering. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your life, Lord. Oh, thank you for your love and your presence in this place. Bless the people, Lord. We will be doers of your word and not hearers only. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want voter information, don't forget to sign up. And then youth group tonight, Wednesday night Bible study.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.